Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter this morning. The unshackled Word of God. The unshackled Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to meet with the counselors this evening at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So if you have any interest whatsoever in helping us out in counseling at the Judgment House, I'm in charge of that. That's the last thing that people go through. Mike Mason and I do the closing. But we need all the women and all the men we can. And I've got some great standbys like Faye and JW and others. And I would like to use them to start training some of the younger people so that we could have more counselors in the future as well. So if you want to meet us here in the sanctuary at 6, I know some of you in Juana's and other things, but get on over here when you can. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls, we talked about this last week, how that the Word of God will purify our soul. What is saved is your spirit. The soul gets sanctified. So seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and that the Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of the word of God. And now I ask for your fresh oil, that we would understand the word of God today, that we would leave here today having allowed the word of God to change us, that we would not only be hearers, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The unshackled Word of God. Now, I know that I'm dealing with a serious subject here because the bottom line is everybody here today is dealing with something. You've got some kind of hurt, some kind of habit, or some kind of hang-up. Everybody's got some problems today. Addictions are serious problems. Addictions can be a legitimate medical problem. You deal with withdrawal and depression and all that kind of deal. But the thing that I'm trying to get to here is, how do you break this bondage? How do you break the bonds? And here are some subjects I'm going to be dealing with in the coming weeks. I wrote down the titles so you would get them. Breaking the bonds of bitterness. That bitterness can get you in serious bondage. Breaking the chains of fear. That's a real deal. Breaking the chains of negativity. I've dealt with that all my life, of dealing with people who just don't even realize it, but they're very negative. Breaking the food chain, food addictions. Breaking the chains of financial bondage. We're going to be dealing with that in November. Some people are hurting so bad, you have to do more than preach a message to them. You have to be a message to them. I want you to write that down, if you would. It's more than preaching a message, it's being a message. So I want to ask you as a church, would you be the message? I'm going to preach the message. Would you be the message? I want to be that message too. I understand that there are some great organizations that use steps to help people reach their higher power, whatever that might be or whatever that might look like. But most of those steps are the use of man's words. What you think, what you say, what your opinion is exactly what the devil wants you to say, because your words of what you think and what your opinion is, the devil knows there's no power in it. There's no power in man's words. Man's words can say one thing and mean another. But God's word is absolute truth. Amen. We're going to see that today. The devil wants us to depend on us, our words, and everybody's got an opinion. If you're a Baptist, you got two of them, but everybody's got one, you know, but that's something Satan had rather you come up with, your opinion about something, rather than what Jesus said to the devil, it is written. It's far better for us to claim it is written, amen, than to claim our opinion or our education. You know, a lot of times we say, well, hey, I'm a very educated man. Did you know you can be educated and be educated wrong? You know, you may have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't know how to use it, what good is it? So I'm dealing with this truth today. The truth of God's word is to be set free, stay free. If you've got a Bible falling apart, usually that means it belongs to someone who's not. So if your Bible's falling apart, you're probably not. Because I'm telling you, the key is understanding this word. I believe with all my heart, this book, right here, look at it. It'll keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And if you're not in this book every day, it's because Satan's got a stronghold, okay? Now, I know there's a lot of movement going on this morning, but I want you to get real focused on what I'm trying to say. Because Satan don't want us to get into this book. For if we were to really get into this and let it get into us and let the word become flesh, I'm telling you right, the truth will set you free. Amen. I know that there are people struggling with all kinds of different addictions. But I'm here to preach this today, that this is the unshackled word of God. And the devil's doing everything he can to distract us from it. He don't want us to get into the word of God. So we're going to get into it today. I want to be as rebellious as I can be toward the devil. Amen. All right, number one, the infallible word of God. The infallible word of God. Infallible means incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. Unerring, unfailing, faultless, flawless, perfect, precise, accurate. And since God is infallible, the Bible is infallible. God cannot err. The Bible cannot err because it is the written word of God. It is infallible. So when you stand on the word of God, listen to me carefully. You are dealing with some kind of addiction or not, whatever. You may tremble on the rock, but the rock will not tremble. God's word is true. It is faithful. And it's everlasting, the Bible says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. The breath of God. That's what I want to talk about. The infallibility of Scripture is that this is God breathed. As air comes out of my lungs and through my vocal cords, and I am able to speak these words, God spoke His word. I mean, in Genesis, He just spoke and it was. He says, let there be light. There was light. I'm telling you something, friend. When God says something, you can count on it. Let me prove that to be true. Look a few verses up. Concerning the breath of God, look at verse 10 and 11. He says this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That is saying that centuries ago, the Old Testament prophets, as they wrote the Holy Scriptures, looked forward and they saw the sufferings of Jesus and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw His crucifixion. They saw His coronation. They saw His first coming. They saw His second coming. They saw the cross. They saw the crown. How did they do that? Look at verse 11 again. It says, by the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. That is, this is not the word of man. This is the word of God. In 2 Peter, it says that they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:15 reads, listen, all, can I say it again? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, all Scripture is the breath of God. God did not give the prophets His thoughts. He gave them His very word. We call that verbal plenary. Verbal means that every word of Scripture is God-given. The idea is that every single word in the Bible is there because God wants it to be. It wouldn't be there if God didn't want it. So every word of Scripture is there because God wanted it to be. Plenary means fully authoritative, complete. Plenary means that all parts of the Bible are equally authoritative. This includes such things as even the genealogies of the Old Testament. All parts of the Bible are divine origin. Jesus said in Luke 16:17, but it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. Jesus said it. Friend, I'm telling you something. There's power in this book. This is the breath of God, but not only is it the breath of God, this is the book of God. Now, I want to go somewhere this morning because of the way the Lord led me to deal with this, and I really believe God led me this direction today because, folks, if you don't understand the power of God's word, how can you say to the enemy, it is written? How can you stand against temptation? How can you stand in these last days? As last week we talked about, Paul in Galatians says, stand fast, and we've already dealt with that. Well, it's the book of God. Notice it says, the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another. This book is a book of love. It is God's love story. And you know what primarily it's about? You and Jesus. And he's saying this, God's in love with you. You want to put the whole Bible in one verse, you can put it in one verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is what this Bible is all about. It's God's great love story, and God is in love with the human race. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pure love will love the Word of God. It is impossible to love this truth, 1 John says, and hate your brother. I'll tell you, the first thing I look for when a person tells me they're a child of God, when I go to a church, the first thing I look for is the first fruit of the Spirit, love. And if I don't sense love, I'll be honest with you, I wonder if that church is really born again. I've been to some of those churches. My last church, I went there, it's been now 30 years ago. Day one, I felt loved in that church. And the last day I was there, I felt loved there. I think that's one reason I was there 25 years. I'm telling you something, you want to hang around where you feel loved, amen? You want to be with people that love you, and you want a preacher that loves you, and you want a church that loves you. We need to be all about God who loves, because he tells us in his word, now I love you, you're to love one another. That's what he's saying there in verse 22. But notice what he says, and I'll give you the third thing here that I think is pretty neat. The beholder of God. Now I'm going to tell you where I got that. Look at verse 22. You see the word see, and then you see the word see at the latter part. The love of the brethren, see that you love one another. See that you love one another with a pure heart. This word fervently here means, it's an athletic term. It means striving with all of your might, with all of your energy. You've heard beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It is a beautiful sight when you see a church genuinely putting into action the infallible Word of God. You see, God's Word didn't make no mistake when it said you're to love one another. Therefore, we should follow suit. Now, I know you and I are not perfect and we fail every day, but I believe we ought to be very intentional about this thing called love. Because I don't believe you can say you love God and not love one another. In fact, that's a contradiction in terms. And the one who beholds, like a mirror, the Bible says, the Word of God, this book right here, it reflects who I am, that I have sinned against God. I need his forgiveness. But he loves me unconditionally. And because he loved me, he sent his son to die on the cross for my sin. He paid my sin debt in full. Therefore, I should love him and I should love others. We've heard that, be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some people read. You know, we could be great students of God's Word as a church. We could be one of the smartest churches in Harnett County. But if you and I didn't love one another, It'd be a contradiction. You'd have a form of God denying the power thereof. You would know about God, but you wouldn't be showing to a lost and dying world that you really know God. Because if you really know God, there's going to be a real love. There's going to be something authentic. It's going to be genuine. Note verse 22 started with the word seeing, and now toward the end of the verse, Peter is saying, again, see. That's our witness. People can see what is real, what is authentic, and what is not real. People can see a pure heart. People can see your motives are pure. Matthew 5:8, the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The question is not whether or not we are going to be witnesses. The question is, what kind of witness will we be? Jesus said it best in John 13:35, this is how they will know you of me, how that you love one another. Do the people around us see God? I'll tell you how they can best see God. They can best see God how we treat one another, how we see each other. And I hope we see each other as we love. You know what? Mike said it right today. You know, when one hurts, we all hurt. We ought to be there to pick one another up. Not, you know, one thing I've never understood, and I've been in church all my life, I've never understood this army, the Lord's army, how they shoot their own wounded. They do. I've never understood that. Now, in the military, you don't do that, do you? No. You pick him up. I mean, someone down there bleeding and they're hurting and they're laying there in their addiction and they're sick. I believe with all my heart, they need our help. And if we say we love God, then we ought to love one another, the beholders of God. That's who we ought to be. And then second of all, not only the infallible Word of God, but the incorruptible Word of God. You see that in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now listen to me carefully. You got to listen fast, because I know these boxes are staring me in the face, and I want us to pray over them. So I got to talk fast and finish quick, because we got to do this. But I want you to hear this, if you don't hear nothing else. The incorruptible word of God, because the seed, listen carefully now, that was given to you, that brought about salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Jesus has done for you, now hear me right. I mean, this is some Ronnieology here. So this Ronnieology and some theology here. So get this. Here's my thinking. Just as Mary was conceived by God's seed, okay, and Jesus was born, well, Jesus came into your life and he saved your soul. Therefore, what should be birthed here is little crisis. We ought to all look like little Jesuses. Amen? You say, well, preacher, I don't know how much like Jesus we look. Well, others know. But anyway, here's the thing about I want to encourage you with. You were not born of corruptible seed. Okay? We're talking about the incorruptible Word of God. Being born again, the Word of God is the power of God, the Bible says, unto salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's salvation is perfect. People are not saved by any other word. We are conceived by the Word. Therefore, our salvation is perfect. Yes. It's not your salvation, it's his salvation. You didn't save you, he saved you. Therefore, you have been made perfectly right, perfectly right with a holy God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is your righteousness. That ought to make you have a spell. I believe I will. Let's talk about the seed now. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruption. Seed brings life. Every word of God is a seed, and it brings life. Are y'all listening this morning? I tell you, if y'all are not with me, I'll get some oil and anoint myself. Where's that stuff at? I mean, folks, I'm telling you something. The word of God is living. It brings about life. This seed, the germination of the Holy Spirit of God, begins working in our life. And as that germination takes place, we call it sanctification. We are becoming more like Jesus every day. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. And that is that the Spirit of God was made alive in you. You were born again. That's your salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh. Yes, in you. And that's the seed that God's putting you. And that's the sanctification. Let me tell you something that happened, oh man, this week. I tell you, I don't know what's going on with me. Last 3 weeks have been horrible. I mean, Sherry has asked me, she said, honey, I mean, what else are we going to have to deal with? Just one little episode and bill after bill. And we're like, man, everything's, you ever have the time when everything hits you at one time? We're like, help me, help me, help me. So here we are. And I needed some encouragement. And so the day of the storm, we've had so many, Michael, yeah. Oh yeah, that storm, yeah, that's the storm. So that was the day I was to meet the pastor down at Littleton Baptist Church. I really didn't know him that well. He'd heard me preach at the associational meeting, and he wanted me to do a revival, and so that's been a time back, and so we've scheduled this revival a long time ago. And so this was the first time that he and I ever met. He wanted me to drive to Littleton, and we met at Magnolia's, I think that's it. And so he ate a bowl of grits. I thought, well, maybe I ought to get a bowl of grits. And then I ate a little hamburger. It was good. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. Anyway, so here we are meeting, and something began happening. I mean, 30 seconds into the meeting, when we sat there, all of a sudden, there was something changing in me. And I started just feeling something like, whoa, there is a peace going on here between me and this brother. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Now, I'm telling you this because it's real. It's like the Holy Spirit said, this is a man of God. Amen. And when I met with that dude, you know all he wanted to talk about? His name is Daniel Stillman. All he wanted to talk about was Jesus. For an hour, I'm telling you, we didn't change subjects. We just talked about Jesus. And you know, he said, we're praying for you, Pastor Ronnie, and we're excited, and our church, and he was telling me what the Lord's doing there and how he's working, and I'm excited because I know that when a pastor is filled with the Spirit of God, God's going to do great things in a church like that. And here's this man, and I hadn't been with him just a few seconds, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, he is a man of God. And I told him that. The life of Jesus can be seen in a life, and he wants us to reflect him. And that's where the sanctification kicks in. Look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, we are clean by the word. Let me say it again. We're clean by the word. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You have purified your soul here today. That's why you begin to feel so good, because the Word of God has a purification power to it. It purifies us. You're purified when you come to God's Word. Jesus was praying in John 17:17. That was the great prayer. If you ever want to read the prayer, that's where it's at. It's not the model prayer. Really, it's the Jesus prayer in John 17:17, where he said, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Jesus said, you're clean to the word that I've spoken to you. And when the waves of temptation and addiction come pounding at you, how are you going to stay clean and stay pure? This book is a cleansing book. Authentic victory happens on the inside when the new spirit within us pumps blood to the different parts of the body. Our spirits pump the truth of God's word into our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Then our souls tell our body to adjust to God's standard instead of our own. And that's the process of sanctification. It all happens because you've been born again. You're saved by the Spirit of God. That seed, the Word of God, is working in you. The germination process is that sanctification takes place. And the more of God's Word that I get into me, the more my life will be clean and pure. I'm telling you, the Word of God is a cleaning Word. It'll clean you. It'll wash you throughout. Last thing, and I'm done. It's the instructable Word of God. Not only the infallible Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, but it's the indestructible Word of God. Look at verse 23 and 25, which liveth and abideth forever. But the Word of the Lord, it says in verse 25, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Did you know that even in the New Testament, we read of those who violently sought to overthrow the cause of Christ? Early in the history of Christianity, Clement of Alexandria wrote, this is a quote, "Many martyrs are daily burned, crucified, and beheaded before our eyes." For many Christians, Christianity was outlawed by the Roman government. And many of these efforts were directed toward destroying the Bible. I want to close with this illustration about this emperor. This emperor, this Roman emperor by the name of Diocletian, 284 to 316, Eusebius, the historian, wrote, "Royal edicts were published everywhere, commanding that churches be leveled to the ground and that all Bibles be burned." Diocletian went on to say, "If one had a copy," here's a quote, "if one has a copy of the Holy Bible and did not surrender it to be burned, if it were discovered, he would be killed. Furthermore, if any other should know of one," this is all a quote, "who had a copy of the Word of God and did not report it, he too would be killed." During this time, many, many copies of the Bible was burned. Copies laboriously written in longhand. Even they found those and burned them. And of this period, the historian Newman said, "Multitudes hastened to deny the faith and to surrender their copies of the Holy Bible. Many more bore the many horrible tortures and refused with their last breath to surrender the Scriptures or in any way to compromise themselves." And after this edict had been in the force for 2 years, here's what Diocletian boasted. He said, "I have completely exterminated the Christian writings from the face of the earth." Diocletian had destroyed the Word of God. Does anyone have a Bible here today? Would you lift it up? Lift it up high. Wow! Praise the Lord. Diocletian must have been wrong. Because we still have it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. And you know what I thought as soon as I saw all those Bibles lifted up? I thought of that scripture. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." So you've just lifted up God. I'll never forget, I was teasing Marshall. So I had him over on the lake one day. I was doing something with Marshall. And what's the youngest boy's name?
Elijah.
Man, they've grown up. Well, I had Elijah with me. Elijah was sitting this way. Marshall was on the back. Elijah was in the front, I think, because he was so small. So Elijah would say, "Speed up, Preacher Ronnie, speed up." Or maybe it was Marshall. I don't know. One of them was saying, "Speed up, speed up." And the other one said, "Slow down, slow down." So I was cutting up on the wave runner with him. We was riding around everywhere. And one of them said, "Speed up." The other one said, "Slow down." And so I was trying to satisfy both, and I was going in circles, and I didn't pay attention that there was a big boat coming, by the way. And next thing I know, that boat, its waves threw us over. Well, Marshall, I got him back on. He had a broken arm. It was in a, I mean, he had already, I didn't break his arm. It was already broken. It was already broken. But his mama had put it in a plastic bag. And all he said, once we got back on the wave runner, he said, "My mom's going to lift you up." I'm like, what does that mean? So anyway, I carried him home, and I wanted to speak to John. He was out there in the garage, and I said, "John, I said, I don't understand. We had a little incident. Boys fell over. They're fine. Nobody got hurt. But Marshall kept telling me, my mom's going to lift you up. My mom's going to lift you up. All the way going home, mom's going to lift you up." I said, "John, what does that mean?" "Oh, I can tell you what it means." He said, "When she spanks our boys, it lifts them off their feet." She lifts them up. And I got to tell that since she's here today. But here's the truth. The Word of God, when you lift up Jesus, things will happen. Don't it just feel good to come to church and sing His praises? Amen. Now, let me tell you something the devil hates, and I'm closing. The devil hates it when we start speaking. And many of the songs are based on Scripture, right? The devil hates it. You know what the devil wants you to do? Just stand there like this. like a bunch of mules chewing on briars or something, just miserable. That's our old flesh, isn't it? But if you start singing and lifting up Jesus, He swells up in you. The Bible says, magnify the Lord. How can you magnify something that's bigger than big? Well, He magnifies Himself in you. That's what happens. He gets bigger in you. And when, listen, I'm going somewhere. When He gets bigger in you, all of a sudden, you've got what you need to deal with those temptations. And when Satan comes knocking at your door, you can say, it is written. Well, I like that. It is written. It is the infallible, incorruptible, indestructible Word of God. This is the living Word of God. It says, which liveth and abideth forever. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Let me tell you something. This is sharper than a two-edged sword. I heard this story this morning about this guy who was 90 years old. Old, old fella. I hope nobody here is 90. He was old, but he wanted a job. And he heard there was a lot of lumber people up in this certain area. So he goes into this place of business and he says, I'm looking for an owner or superintendent of that owns a lumber business. I'm a tree cutter. And this man raised his hand. He said, well, sir, I'm an owner, but I wouldn't hire you for nothing. You're old. You're too old. You couldn't chop even one tree down. And the man said, well, just give me a try. I think I'll prove different. He said, sir, you're 90 years old. I need young bucks. I need some people that can make some trees fall. I mean, we use axes. So the man said, I know how to use an axe. He said, all right, come on out here. So he began to fall the trees. I mean, he was hitting them left and right. And finally the man said, wait a minute, where did you come from? How did you learn to cut trees like that? I never seen nobody cut trees like that. Man, yeah, you're hired. He said, but who trained you? How did you learn? He said, well, you've heard of the Sahara forest, haven't you? He said, no, I've never heard of the Sahara forest. He said, I've heard of the Sahara desert. He said, that's it. I was the guy. I did all that. You say, preacher, that man's a little overconfident. Well, I want to be overconfident when it comes to the power of God's word to be able to cut down whatever the devil puts up against you. Let me tell you, this word is a powerful word. It's the living word of God. And the Bible also tells us it's the lasting word of God. The word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. It will never end. We will leave. That's supposed to be capital. The last, I thought I capitalized that. And then the liberating word of God. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Now you've heard the truth today. We're fixing to sing a song we all know. And this is what's going to happen. This is the invitation now. I did pretty good to get us this fast. Will you let God's word set you free right now? I love this song, He Knows My Name. Now, you know what? You may feel all bound up today and the devil's got you in shackles. But what would happen today if you were to believe this? That God's got my name. He knows your name. And God's got you here for such a time as this so He can set you free. All you got to do is be willing to say, all right, God, I'm yours. I'm tired of me. I've tried. And I know there are people struggling. I know that there are medical conditions and there's chemical problems. And we all, I mean, I probably got every kind of problem there is with DD, BB, but I don't know what all I got. But anyway, you know what? I'm just going to let God take care of me. Will you let God take care of you? I mean, really, would you surrender your addiction to God? It's all right, God, I've tried. The Word of God is the power of God to salvation. If He can save your soul, can He deliver you from addictions? I believe He can. And I'm not saying God don't use other people to help. I am saying this, that He's the only one that can truly set the captive free. This is the invitation. This is what I want you to do. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the easiest Sunday for you to ever come because I'm fixing to ask everybody in this church to come up here who's in our church and get a shoebox and you're going to pray over it And you're going to ask God to bless the child who receives this box, because God knows the child is going to receive that box. And I want you to pray over that box that that person will get saved. Would you do that? I'm asking every one of you to grab a box this morning. All right? But if you've never received Christ, I'm not going to take a box. I'm going to let the church do that. I'm going to be standing here, and I'd like to give you the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I want to help you come to know Jesus, okay? Because He loves you. He died for you. I want to help you come to trust Him. If you've already trusted Christ as your Savior and God's leading you to be a part of this church, you want to join this fellowship, then you come and let me know that today. I believe He is here. He wants to do a work. And I believe this invitation is probably the easiest invitation I'll give all year long, because everybody here today will be moving, doing something. Deacons are down here to pray with you. We'll be taking boxes. You pray over the box and then you put the box back, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, may your Holy Spirit be at work here today. Your word is truth. It is the infallible word of God. It's the incorruptible. It's the indestructible word of God. Many have tried to destroy your word, but you said it and you are always true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. Help us to stand on your word. We may waver, we may shake, but the rock will not waver. You are faithful and true to us. May we take you at your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing.